Yeah, so are you living the life that you want? Do you know what it is that you want? Are you working your way towards those personal or professional goals? We're also giving away tickets today to the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. And just so superb to have these international top tennis players in town celebrating 21 years of the tennis with the world's top players. You'll see 9 of the top 10 women in action, 6 of the top 10 men, and all happening for the women from the 18th of February through to the 23rd, and for the men from the 25th of February through to March the 2nd. What's the best thing about the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships? And if you've been before, your memories, let us know those on that text number.
I remember, I think it must have been 15, 16 years ago, I know one of the organizers, and they're good friends with my parents, and she suggested when you come home for the holidays, why don't you volunteer and help us out? So for one of the years, I was one of the people that helped out.
Were you a ball girl?
Yes. No, I used to be when my father and brother played tennis. Yeah. They wouldn't let me play, Suzanne. Aww. They'd bribe me and take me to the tennis court and say, we'll let you play, but I was at the net the whole time.
Picking
grabbing
up the balls
for
I know.
Yes.
Yeah. Dads and brothers can be like that, can't they?
Yeah, they can.
Or it goes the other way, whereas I was made to play cricket.
Oh.
All boys.
Yeah.
All cricket mad. Only girl, I'd be there. Maybe quite a good cricket player, though.
Yeah, but you got an advantage now, don't you? You know about the game.
Yes.
And you can talk about it with the guys. And
scoring, yes. Sunday afternoon teas, making those sandwiches. Yes, yes, yes.
So I was working in the information booth. And giving information to the people about the games and the tickets and things like that. So
excellent.
Really, really fond memories. And it's so wonderful to see how it's grown and how accessible it is here. Really, we're so lucky to be able to be so up close and personal.
It's so true.
In these different events.
Indeed. So, let us know the best thing for you about the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships on that text number, and you will go into the draw. So we're looking at living the life that we want, and one aspect of this could be for parents regarding their child, their first one leaving home, going off to college or going off to a place of work, wherever it may be, but leaving the family home for the first time. And where does that leave the mother? Where does that leave the father with regards to how they move on and move forward? Now, for some people, I mean, when I left home, it was a long time ago. I don't know how it affected my mother. Mm. I don't know. I mean, I do know when I left at Christmas, just having a visit.
Yeah.
The last thing she said to me when I left was, you can always come home.
Oh, bless.
After all these years, bless her.
Gosh.
I think she meant back to the UK. Clearly it has more of an effect on our parents than perhaps we realise as the children.
Well, sometimes, you know, parents keep the room exactly as it was when the child used to live there. And that really is an interesting signifier of not being ready to let go. I remember I had my, you know, culture club and Prince posters up on the wall. Of course, I'm not that old, but I had them on the wall for years, until my parents turned the room into a guest room.
Did you feel when that happened?
Terrible. I came back and I said, hey, wait a minute, where are my posters? What is this? What's going on? They said, well, you know, you're now living abroad, and here you have this room. Of course, you can stay as long as you want. But it was a signal that things were changing, and that I had this other space that I could call my own in London, or when I was living in California. Of course, you know, parents are always welcoming, but it also depends what cultural background you're from. People from collectivist traditional cultures seem to find it more difficult to let go. And when we talk about letting go, we're also addressing the diversity of this situation. So is it children or young adults who are going off to university? Are they traveling for work assignments? Or are they still living in the same city and unmarried, and they've decided that they no longer want to stay at home and perhaps want to have their own apartment? And in the Western world, you know, Suzanne, this isn't uncommon at 18, 19, 20, 21 for people to move out and live with their cousins, let's say, or their friends, or even find roommates to live with. So again, for people from our culture over here, it can be quite challenging for them to accept this. A part of that challenge is that, remember, parents have been part of really supervising and working alongside this child's life every step of the way for many, many years. And suddenly that role of supervisor seems to get diminished to an observer almost overnight. Not even observer. You know, they get these phone calls intermittently every couple of weeks. Hey, mom, dad, you know, I'm okay. Everything's fine. Don't worry. And it can be quite daunting for parents.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my niece recently left home at 18 to go to university, but the university she's going to is only maybe an hour away. The city is like an hour away from where her parents live. And before she went, it was there was lots of talk of her going. I mean, granddad lives in the same city as where the university is, so popping around to grandma and granddad's to drop her laundry off, that kind of thing, maybe get a Sunday roast and everything. But just recently she got the flu, you know, this flu's been going around. And my sister-in-law literally immediately gets in the car, drives over to her halls of residence and to pick her up and bring her back to look after her. And that's quite right. And because she can do that, it's only an hour away. But it's interesting, isn't it? Even when, I think at any age, when you leave home, there's always times in your life when you're perhaps sick or vulnerable or feeling sad or something happens where all you want to do is be back at your in your family home being taken care of by your parents.
That's right. And that's where things feel safe and secure. Many parents, when they have their own kids, they start thinking about this syndrome, if you will, as we call it, because it's not a clinical psychosis. It is sort of an experience that you have that we refer to as empty nest syndrome. Most people say that they begin thinking about it when they have their own kids. So when they were ready to fly, they never thought about necessarily how their mother and father felt, because parents don't want to talk about this too much or share their anxieties too much with the child for fears of weighing them out down further with the responsibility of their own emotions. So it's when they have kids of their own and when they have to leave them, do they talk about this. Also, other reasons why the nest sometimes feels empty for parents, it might be because perhaps, you know, they haven't invested and worked on their own relationship throughout the years, Suzanne. So remember, you have this identity as a mother or an identity as a father, but we mustn't forget that we're also husband and wife, woman and man, and we shouldn't shelve those identities because along the road the children leave and somehow you feel your role as a mother or father becomes obsolete temporarily because you're not involved in their day-to-day activities. So this general feeling of I'm not happy with my relationship. Who is this person? So couples may sometimes need to be reintroduced to one another again, figure out how to spend time with each other. They've spent, you know, 10, 15 years just talking about the kids and the kids' activities. Some people, it's stressful for them and they feel that the nest is empty because they generally find change difficult to deal with. Other times it might be because they are worried that their child isn't emotionally mature yet to live alone. So they're constantly anxious about this. Excuse me. It could be that parents have invested so much time into their familial life and into their children's activities that they don't have much of a social life. So right now, you know, friends or family members, they haven't seen them for a while and it's difficult for them to reconnect with them. And culturally as well, it could be that these people, parents, never experienced moving out themselves until marriage. So they stayed in at home, they went to a university nearby, and to them, this is a foreign concept.
Does that put you at a disadvantage or not?
Well, it can, because it you mean for the student, excuse me, for the young adult or for the parents?
Well, both. I mean, the idea that is it better to stay longer within the family home, within the nest, and to leave, you know, as we culturally, maybe when one is engaged and then when they marry, they then move out. I mean, what effects does it have on, I mean, does it matter or is it all down to personal choice?
You know, with these differences and when we talk about what's right and wrong, the best thing is to put it into context and to see where are you living? What kinds of values does that society foster? What kind of values does that society want to encourage in its people? So if you're living in a traditionally collectivist type society, someone who moves out and lives alone and is too independent and really cuts the ties from their extended family and so on, there's consequences for that, Suzanne, you know, and maybe you don't want to encourage that too much. But if you're living in a a more individualistic type society, then that is something that needs to be achieved quite quickly, because it is the value that is encouraged over there. I was talking to a night nanny recently, and she was telling me that in London, the goal of the parents nowadays, especially working parents, is to try and get these newborns and these infants to sleep through the night as quickly as they possibly can. Now, when my son was born, I had a health visitor come to the house, and Yusuf must have been about 5 or 6 months old at the time, and the health visitor was just absolutely appalled at the fact that Yusuf was still waking up 5 or 6 times a night. Well, my mother was in the other room, and she nearly threw this woman out of the house, really? Because she said, "What are you talking about? He can wake up till he's 16 years old at 5, 6 times a night." So very different, yeah, culturally, of why force the child to sleep through the night when perhaps he needs to wake up.
Yeah.
Different cultural orientations, and the necessity to be dependent or independent varies across cultures.
One text message here. My daughter will be leaving home this summer to go and start university in the UK, and I'm dreading it. Oh, it is. It's, yes, difficult for people, isn't it? But then when we come back, we'll talk about how you can turn this around and still keep the bonds and the ties, even though, yes, geographically you're not there close. But also, what about you? What about you and you as an individual, and what defines you and what gives you your identity now? Where are you going to move forward and to live the life that you want, which is what it's all about this morning.